As is customary during the second half, let's examine Joel's statements. We have here a very definitive statement, speaking of incorporeality. This is the ultimate truth. There is nothing left to teach. You cannot go beyond incorporeality. You cannot. You have to bring forth incorporeality out of your consciousness. Bring forth incorporeal man out of your consciousness, incorporeal body, and incorporeal supply. The unfolding of consciousness imbued with truth is really the secret of life. We've all been building forms without realizing that these forms are mental forms, images and thought, and they don't hold up. And the Master gives us the great truth that only when the forms are built through the consciousness of spirit do the forms have substance, and then they are divinely created forms, divinely sustained forms, moving in the continuity and rhythm of the Father. And so, if we were to review, we would mean then that you and I, standing in the omnipresence of our own spirit, consciously aware that spirit is the substance of being, turn to that spirit, abide in that spirit, and let that spirit express, so that the forms that we experience in this world would be forms of substance. The difference would then make our lives not lived by chance, not subject to the whims of the world, but independent of material law. For these would be divine images, divinely inspired, divinely sustained. Now look at this. Here is the statement, there is no corporeal creation. Page 149. There is no corporeal creation. It is we who entertain a corporeal sense of an incorporeal creation. Whatever you see is your corporeal sense of an invisible, incorporeal creation. And because the senses do not make contact with the spirit, it is your corporeal sense expressing the carnal mind, the universal carnal mind. It is not your sense impression about the spirit. It is the world mind sense impression which you are receiving and projecting as the forms of your experience. Your world then becomes carnal mind made visible. And there is still a separation between the divine and your senses. Manifesting is that separation in the form of forms without substance, corporeal forms, perishables. And it is there that we find the errors of the world. On the other hand, when you are living out from incorporeality, you have attained the mystical consciousness out of which all form appears. Then you have the illumination which permits your soul, yourself, to know that substance which is manifest in the invisible. And now, instead of your senses resting in the universal carnal mind, which is imitating the spiritual creation, you are still in your senses, and you are resting no longer in world thought, in the good and the bad, the healthy and the unhealthy, the rich and the poor, the opposites, but rather you are abiding above the senses, in that mind which knows the Father aright, which knows the incorporeal creation, which brings forth that creation, and you literally walk in your consciousness in the kingdom of God on earth. You have stepped out from the world, from the opposites, from the good, the bad, from the problems. Now, if you stop, says Joel, with incorporeal God, your ministry will bring forth only the fringes of demonstrational healing. The moment you have incorporeal man, and you drop his structural appearances, you will stop trying to reduce his fevers or his lumps, stop trying to arrest his aging processes, because incorporeal man has none. He was never born, and he will never die. He was never born, so he cannot age. Learning to walk in a spiritual universe where there is no incorporeal man is really the realization of the omnipresence of spirit. Yes, there goes a man, but wait a minute. That being spirit, and I being spirit, and spirit being one, that is my invisible self. Always we return to that consciousness of the everywhere invisible spirit that I am. And on this entire earth, that is all there is. In your dedication to this truth, that the entire world is walking through your invisible self, in your willingness to form this consciousness in you, you are not caught unawares, you are not startled by the world events, you are not persuaded by any incident or occurrence out there that the spirit of your being has departed. Always out there remains to you my spirit. And here, my spirit, and between out there and here, always my spirit. Yes, you might find it very difficult to walk this way at first, but as the power manifests from your walking in the omnipresence of your own spirit, seeing your neighbor walking in your own spirit, knowing your spirit to be the one indivisible truth of the universe, you are never denying his presence, the Father. You are never piercing his garment. You are never the fallen man stepping back into the mortal sense of self. And you will discover to your great joy that the structures of the world truly do lose their sense of realism, truly do dissolve and lose their sense of power over you. As you walk in the incorporeal kingdom of the Father, you are following the Master who said, "Follow me." Incorporeal Christ is the identity of you and your neighbor. Incorporeal God cannot give birth to a corporeal man, only to an incorporeal man. An incorporeal man has no physical structure. And therefore, those on the mystical path must remove from thought the image man, the corporeal man, the man who has physicality, because that man is not the man of God's creating. There simply isn't such a man. There is no one who created such a man. And you, learning that this man exists in your five sense concept of man and ever external to it, now can develop the capacity to look at those forms out there organic, inorganic, human, material, vegetable, animal, everything that is visible, and know that the corporeal creation, the material structures of the world, not being God's creation, have fooled the world because they're nothing more than images and thoughts. We have nothing to heal out there, nothing to improve. We're looking at forms, shapes, not true substance, not divine life. There is no divine life in any of these forms. And from this awareness that only the invisible incorporeal universe is divine life and no other life exists, you will come into the realization of a true freedom, a liberation from form. Remember, Joel cautions, the union of God and man can never take place between incorporeal God and corporeal man. You must be incorporeal man, incorporeal woman, to be in oneness with the Father. And until you have made that decision within yourself, that recognition of the incorporeal self of your being, you cannot say with the Master, "I and the Father are one." But instead you walk in duality. Sense separated. Cut off from the very life substance of being. For the senses can never make contact with that life substance. The moment you go to God with the idea of attaining a thing or with something of a physical nature in thought, you separate yourself from God. Now let's underline that word separation. Many still are under the impression that asking God for a thing or some object or some better condition is going to improve their lot. But here the point is clearly made that the moment you go to an incorporeal God for something of a material nature, you're simply wasting time and denying your own incorporeal self. You're turning away from what you are by the very request for a physical improvement. Whereas the recognition that you are not physical but are incorporeal is also the recognition that because I am immaterial, immortal, incorporeal, I need no material, no physical, no corporeal thing. How can an immortal being need something mortal? How can a non-physical being need something physical? And so the moment you're asking for a thing, an object, a physical something, what are you saying? A physical me needs a physical something. You're stepping out of the truth that God being incorporeal, I am the Father of one. And the moment you step out of the truth cannot feed you. It cannot manifest in your experience. You separate yourself from the very thing you seek the moment you seek a thing. On the other hand, because I am the Spirit, I am self-contained and self-fulfilling, invisibly manifest right here now, is the wholeness, the fullness of God. All that I ever will need is right here now. And standing in that nowness, accepting that my Spirit is here, the Spirit of the Infinite is here as my Spirit, knowing the full power of that Spirit is here, I rest with trust in the knowledge that here is all that I need, and if I will accept this and abide in this, rejecting all temptation that it is not here, then that which I accept now in consciousness becomes my tomorrow and is manifest in the visible as consciousness unfolding. Now listen to this. The reality of us is that incorporeal spiritual selfhood which is born of God. That's who you are. The incorporeal spiritual selfhood born of God. Now Joel says, I have recognized my incorporeality. I have recognized that I am not in a body. I am speaking through a body, but I am not in the body. I am where you are, whether it's anywhere between Detroit and South America. Wherever God is, I am. I and my Father are one. And therefore, without taking thought, without directing thought, anyone who makes contact with that Spirit which I am has made contact with his source, has actually made contact with himself, because the I that I am is the you that you are. Now we have the statement there of oneself. And you must remember that Joel Goldsmith was a man as we are, a person, a human being, who realized that he was not a mortal being. Like Jesus Christ, he learned that he is not flesh and blood. He learned that his name is incorporeal spirit. He recognized his incorporeality. And therefore, when you turn to the spirit of his being, Even though you didn't know that spirit was the spirit of your being, you were actually touching your own spirit. You were being released from mortal sense. Isn't that a wonderful secret? Isn't that the key to all the mysteries? Look, you who never have had a beginning, you cannot coexist with God and have a beginning or an ending. You've always lived. But you may not have lived in the part of the world where you are now living. Where were we? Before 1492, remember that in the book? Before 1492, where were you if you were living? You weren't in the United States. What country were you in? What color were you? Ah. Now listen, once you understand the incorporeal nature of your being, you will understand why it could be taught. There's neither black nor white, neither Jew nor Greek, neither copper nor red, neither Oriental nor Occidental. These are merely the forms I assume to fit into my surroundings. And then you'll understand why you could also incarnate as a male or a female. All judgment by appearances is false. Human judgment has no way of knowing the many yesterdays that you have lived. Human judgment falls so short that without understanding the eternal spirit, it forms its impressions, and we live in those mental margins, walled off, imprisoned by ignorance and superstition. Among the many things Joe learned was the importance of knowing but where the student seemed to be the Spirit of God of Joel and the Spirit of God of that student were one and the same. So on page 143, in teaching he says, I am never speaking to a group of persons. I am speaking to myself and reminding myself of the truth I know, recognizing that you are I, whether that I is sitting on one side of the table or the other. Can you accept that? Do you see that these are words of wisdom? Whatever you're looking at, invisibly is you. That's why it's said that I go before you. There really are no crooked places, because wherever you go, yourself is. And yourself may be showing forth an infinite variety of different forms. But Peter, do you not recognize me? Philip, do you not know me? Do you not see that behind this form I am? Fear not, it is I. Look again. What do you see? Yes, with your senses you see a form. Look again with your soul. What do you see? Be still in the senses, and you will know. Behind what you call the form in your senses, there stands the self of you, which is called I, living spirit. You see, you have the one realized. And in that ever-present infinite one, which you accept to be yourself and the self of all, the power functions, the power flows. The power of omnipresence expressing. In spiritual discernment, you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell incorporeally. See those other five senses who have their lamps lit begin to function for you and to reveal what the human senses cannot see. You literally can see incorporeal form. Joel asks this question, from what does a seed come forth? You do not know any more than I do, except that I can tell you the name out of which it comes. The name is consciousness. Before there was a seed, there was incorporeality. And so we have incorporeality linked with consciousness. Your consciousness of incorporeality brings you to that place before the seed. The place of substance. The land of cause, so that the effects must automatically follow from divine cause. Living in the incorporeal acceptance, you're in cause instead of effect. Many persons in moments of spiritual discernment have witnessed the incorporeal form of man. I too, says Joel, have beheld the incorporeal form hundreds of times. Because when a person is in spirit, that is all he can behold. Unless you have the spiritual vision that can perceive beyond the physical senses and see the incorporeal man and woman, see trees, fruits, and crops, all as incorporeal, even though you entertain a material sense of them. The crippled man is going to stay a crippled man. And the woman taken in adultery is going to be the woman taken in adultery. Now, if there were cattle on 1,000 hills before physical cattle appeared, that means incorporeal cattle, incorporeal sun, incorporeal reality everywhere. Before the physical appeared. It should be clear to all of us that until incorporeality is your starting point in this work, you're in duality. You're not sipping the living fountains of truth. You're not in cause. You're separated from substance. You're wandering the earth as a mortal creature, even though the Father made no mortal creature. And of course, grace can only function in your spiritual substance, in your incorporeal self. One with Source is impossible for incorporeal God and corporeal man. Trying to make spirit enter a material existence will not work. There are no physical structures in God. The freedom that we have all sought is in the power of the Father functioning through that transparency which is the Son living in incorporeality, willing to deny the senses, to look at all form and say, form is impossible. There is no form there. There is no materiality there. There is no physical structure in my kingdom. This is where your consciousness abides, conscious of spirit everywhere, my spirit, one spirit. This is life substance. Then when we speak of God as incorporeal, we also have an incorporeal man, woman, and child, incorporeal Christ. And we have an incorporeal universe, so that all is incorporeal, not consisting of matter, not perceived by physical senses, and not possessing bodily senses. And then we are following the Master. We are living in the self. And that self will express, manifesting in the invisible, and then through its own process appearing in our visible experience. Banish the material forms from your consciousness. Know them as unreal. Know the reality that is there and trust it. And then whoever seeth thee will see the Father, the invisible spirit of your consciousness, made visible into this seeming world. Nothing to defend against, nothing to resist, no evil to confuse you or to enter and defile you. For your kingdom is the present, incorporeal Spirit of God here and now, the substance of your being. If you have accepted the divine life as your life, you are in life. For there is no other life. There is no undivine life. There can never be freedom, power, substance, or grace except in divine life. This will be our work all through 1972. Incorporeal man realized, lived in, demonstrated. For the Master always demonstrated. He was not a teacher alone. He proved every word he taught. As did Joel. There wasn't a word he said that wasn't demonstrated. And you no longer continue to affirm and deny, to think or to believe. It is your function to walk in the Spirit and let the Spirit demonstrate its presence through the transparency of your consciousness. There is a wonderful feeling that things are happening now. We are moving in oneness, for which I thank you very much. Thank you.